Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, listeners. This is Patty Black, and I am back bringing the Good News Show to you. This morning's show is going to be very exciting. We have a special guest. Her name is Judy, and her quote is, "No one is in control of your happiness but you. Therefore, you have the power to change anything about yourself or your life that you want to change." So stay tuned. She should be on in a few minutes, and you can hear what she has to say. She works with many, many tools that she's been gifted with. So I want to invite you to listen to us this morning and want to thank you for being your support. We have gotten a lot of emails from our loyal listeners, and I just want to thank you for your feedback, for your suggestions, for your questions, and most importantly, for listening to our show and being a part of our live experience. So this is Patty Black bringing you the Good News Show live from Miami, Florida, and I am on air with Sherry.
Good morning, Patty, and good morning, listeners. It's really good to be here this morning because I'm very interested in hearing from our guest this morning. I have talked with her a few times, and every time I do talk with her, I can't wait to hear what she has to say. So if you're near a phone, pick up the phone and give us a call, and if you have any questions for her, or you can email and email us some of your questions. But we're going to be talking a lot about the new changes that are coming in now with this. The new year has brought in a lot of changes, and she's going to tell us a little bit about how that relates to us and our life. And, you know, I always say change your thoughts and you can change anything, because change is a good thing, and change happens all the time. It's part of life, and it happens to everybody. So we're ready to hear from Judy Ann. So, Patty, is she on with us yet?
I believe she is. Let me see if I can bring her in. Good morning. Welcome to the Good News Show.
Good morning. This is Judy Ann.
Good.
How are you doing?
Good morning, Judy Ann. It's good to have you with us this morning. As I was telling everybody that I've talked with you a few times, and I love hearing what you have to say. So we're really privileged to have you with us this morning. And
so we'd like to start off with you. Please tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Well, I'm a clairvoyant and a clairaudient, a medium and a healer, and I was born with the so-called the gift. And it's funny because sometimes you spend almost all your life trying to figure out what it is. Because in times like this, when a child is born with this, we're so much more aware, and especially if a child is born into a family that is aware of the spiritual benefits of such a gift. I was born into a Catholic Italian family, and I had nowhere to go. I didn't understand it. It was frightening as a child, and it's a long story, but I can remember as a child running and hiding when I heard that someone passed away, because I was saying, "They're coming to me, they're coming to me." Well, they were. I'm a medium, but I could not go to anyone with that. I mean, so I just did not understand. And it wasn't until I started studying at a spiritualist church, I studied for about 5.5 years, that I knew what the gift was. And more importantly, I started to learn who I was. And it was an amazing discovery, and it's an ongoing discovery, because I learn more and more about myself and this gift I've been given.
I know it's interesting that, like you say, that you were born with this gift. You know, because you just wonder when somebody has the talent and abilities, and you call it a gift, that you can, you know, that you have that intuitiveness. It's something that really it really interests me. You know, and I'm always interested when I hear how does that happen? How does one just have that feeling? It just comes through you.
Oh, let me tell you something. it's more and more I talk to people, the more I learn about these things, because you come in with this. You know, anyone believes in past lives, and you came in with this, and I have been told that I've done this in so many lifetimes. When I studied at that spiritualist church that's no longer around, we had a lot of visiting mediums from all over the world. And I remember sitting in an audience, you know, I was like the child at the circus, and I was like, wow, wide-eyed wonder. And she said, do you know who you are? And I'm going, of course I know. Do you know what you are? And I'm like, they said, you've done this in so many lifetimes. And it wasn't until I really started to work with clients that people would say, you know, I feel like I'm just sitting across the table having coffee with you. It just flows. And I went, okay, now I understand. You know, it's a learning process. So you're born with a gift. You come in with the knowledge. But a lot of times, you know, this is my feeling. You're a spiritual being in an earth body. And that's the problem. You have to walk on this earth. You're subject to everything that's going on with this earth, but yet you're a spiritual being. So I feel like you're flip-flopping back and forth. So it's a very interesting premise. And I learn. I learn from my clients. I learn from other people who do the work. So it's a sharing. It's a sharing because you always give and you receive. And I say the gift, but I honor the gift. And I have said this so many times in lectures, I am not the gift. I was chosen to hold the gift, but I am not the gift, and I never look at myself as the gift. I'm subject to what everybody else does, and I make mistakes. You may have the knowledge, but it seems like you have the knowledge to help others, and you have to sit and bring it to your own attention from time to time. And that's like, okay, sit down, listen. This is what you do. This is what you give. And I have found many times a client will come before me, and I have to give them information. And as I'm giving this information, I have to shut off the part of myself that's going, oh, my God, that's me. That's me. So you will sometimes have a mirror of yourself. So it's always interesting. It is amazing. When I hear stories that some other intuitive is telling, I sit there like the wide-eyed child in amazement because I'm not jaded and I'm not so full of it that I could sit there and think, oh, yeah, I know this, I know that. I learn every single day of my life, and I guess that's what being on the path means. You're learning. You're working and you're learning.
Are you every day aware of where the planets are and what's happening as far as that goes? Does that make a big impact on what's going on in the world and in yourself? And are you conscious of that all the time?
I have decided a long time ago when I was studying astrology, because astrology is something you study as opposed to coming in with that. But I think being intuitive helps. So I call myself an intuitive astrologer. But I don't want to be the person who cannot leave my bed until I see what's going on. I'm not that type of person, and I'm not going to be that type of person. I've met people like that. I don't do that. But what I like to do is, if I'm feeling something, I will check my chart or check what's going on and say, oh, okay, that's that, and okay, that aspect is going to leave in about 10 days or 2 weeks, and everything's going to be okay. Or I could look, I do a lot of retrospective type work, and I go back and I do charts and say, oh, that's why that happened. I don't want to let anything rule my life, because then how can I be open to the possibilities or go with the flow? You can't. You have to just let go at some point. And right now I've created a God box where I put everything in there that I just don't want to obsess about. And when I put it in there, that's it. I'm not allowed to think about it. So I do go with the flow. But you have to remind yourself.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not there every second. You do have to remind yourself, and you just have to be open and learn to let go. And things work a lot better. But I know tomorrow, for instance, tomorrow's a new moon. A new moon is new beginnings. And it's in Pisces, and I'm Pisces rising, so it's happening right on my rising. So it's my physical self. So I have a chance to begin something new. So I'll say, okay, well, maybe I have to take care of myself a little more. Because being a healer, a lot of times we're the unhealed healer. We're so busy healing everyone else that we forget that we need some healing too. So I'll know that with that, I have a chance to begin something. It depends on where it falls in your chart, and it just happens to be right on top, degree-wise, of my rising. So I know there's something I have to have a chance to restart, to begin. So I'll do it that way. I'll look at the main things. I'll look at the eclipses and where it's hitting my chart. I look at my children's chart, and I see where it's hitting them, and, of course, clients. And like right now, we have Mercury is out of the retrograde, out of the shadow, but we have Venus. We're in the shadow of the Venus retrograde. And that happens every 18 months. So March 6th is the retrograde. And even though it ends on the 21st of April, you're still in the shadow till about the 20th or 21st of May. So it's not a time to start anything new financially, but it will be a time, because retro, you just think of the RE, redo, reaffirm, reorganize, I mean refinance if you can at this point. And it's a time, if you've been working with an attorney, maybe you need to get a different attorney. So you're fixing things that are ongoing. You're not starting anything new, especially with regards to finance. And I know everybody thinks of Venus as love, but Venus is also money. And it's a good time to make the changes and to fix, to redo. So it puts us, we have a chance to make changes in our life constantly. And that's what astrology, that's what's good about astrology. It'll show you the little points where you can do that. But you don't sit and obsess about it. You make your change and then you let it go. That's where the spiritual part comes in, the letting go. And is at some point, even if I get into a point where I'm just completely, I say, earthbound, and I'm stuck, I will sit quietly, and then I'll start to bring in everything I need. And I've been doing a lot of Sufi work lately, so I've been affirming that. And I sit, and I bring myself into a space, and I say, okay, here's what we have to let go of. This is what we need to do. You know, letting go of something does not mean that you don't have to do the work. You know, you just don't sit in an easy chair. That's not how it works. You do what you need to do to help the situation, and then you let go of the worry. Because I think letting go of the control. Because if you sit and obsess, that to me is a method of control. And you really can't control it. You can only do what you need to do. So that's my system.
Right. I think we are now coming into this new times of letting go. And like you said, it's a lot of letting go of the, you know, what doesn't serve you anymore. Letting go of the past, the things that no longer are doing good for you, and time to re-energize and bring in the good and bring in the new and refocus on being able to. I love that the letting go is, I mean, it's such a beautiful thing to be able to do that, you know, and a lot of people, you know, they say, well, how do you do that, you know? It just seems like it's such a big task for such a few small words. Let go and give it up.
Give it up. Let go and let God was the thing.
Let go and let God, yeah.
Do you remember the first time you ever let go of something? You know, what steps that brought you to that, and what you had to do, and then what you felt after you let go?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Remember how then it becomes very easy. Then you take... I let go of something that was very, very difficult. I just decided that's it. I'm not going to let it kill me, so I'm going to let it go. and then it works, and then it becomes easier and easier. And anyone you talk to about letting go, you know, they have that fear, they don't want to let go of the reins. But it's like, think of this, if you see a beautiful butterfly, and the butterfly falls into your open hand, and you love this butterfly so much, you want to hold it, but if you put your fingers and you close your fist, it's gone. You'll crush it. And I think that's with anything. You just have to just let it go, let it fly free back into the universe, and it'll come back to you in the way you need it. But with you in there trying to control it, all you're going to do is make yourself sick. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to change anything, because it still will happen the way it's supposed to happen.
Right.
That's the thing. Definitely. It's the order of things, divine order. And but you have to reach a point where you can do this. And it's not that easy. It really
right.
isn't that easy. It's like all the people who have decided, for instance, to give up meat or to give up this. Until they gave it up, they were resisting, for instance. And then now that they have, they're looking at everybody who's eating meat, and they're saying this and they're saying that. But they have to remember where they were at before they let go of it. And they can't make anyone do what they have chosen to do. It's a personal choice. And even with clients, like a lot of times they'll say, oh, I know, you're going to think I'm crazy because I'm still asking you the same question. I said, listen, I'm not here to think. I'm here to give you what I receive without judgment. I'm not here to judge you. Don't ever feel that way. So it's like you don't sit in judgment. People have to do things when it's right for them. You can give them the tools and the information, and they have to choose if they're going to accept it or not. It's not up to you. Nothing really is. Mm-hmm. You make your choices, and you're in charge of you.
Right, and then I think it's also that perception. You know, everybody has, that different perception, and being able to make that change and have a shift can take that, when it's the right time for them, it just takes that one minute of change that shifts them to the next step.
Yep, next level.
Yeah.
You know, these seem to be some very trying times. Not only the economy, but things that people are feeling physically. Because a lot of people who are into the ascension plan, they just feel that this is what takes you to another level. And it was amazing because I was reading something, because I was feeling this, and I'm saying, okay, what's going on here now? And I, all of a sudden, boom, I clicked on something, and everything that I was experiencing and a lot of people around me was on there, and it had to do with going up another level and the changes that are taking place. So even my take on 2012, I don't look at the gloom and doom because we've survived so many different, this earth has survived so many different things. I just feel it's the end of certain things as we know it, because it's coming, I think, full circle. It's come down, and I think there needs to be a major change. And if you look at we say Oprah, whether someone watches Oprah or not, but one thing I say she did was she made it okay for me to be me. It's okay, because she's bringing the spiritual out. But I think that's part of the change. If you look, there's a lot of that around. You hear people talking in a more spiritual way, even in an interview, someone you would never expect, and you hear this. And whether you like the person or you don't has nothing to do with it. You know, listen to the message, because there's always a message out there. So I think the changes are coming. But sometimes change has to come after things literally almost collapse. And then you have to find a better way. It doesn't work anymore.
Exactly. I think that's comforting for our listeners to hear, because a lot of people are faced with adversity. A lot of people have lost their jobs. A lot of people are just in an uncomfortable position. But if you really look at the fact that it's time for change, and that's a good thing, that's comforting.
It is. It's like you'll look in the tarot, the death card. I'm not much of a tarot reader. I mean, I can, but I do everything because I'm clairaudient, so I hear it. But I know the cards and the death card, and everyone's, oh, my God, can't they find a prettier card? And I bought a million decks just to try to see one that was pretty. But it's really about transition because, you know, in spirit, there's no physical. It's a physical death can take place. But there can be a death in many areas of your life. It could be the end of a job. It can be the end of a relationship, an end of say, where you're living. But you could be moving on to something that's magnificent.
Mm-hmm. Right. We never know what's around the corner. When one door closes, another opens. And then keeping that positive attitude and that open-mindedness and being, like, grateful for, you know, what it's, I might, one of my favorite ones is, I'm grateful for what you've given me, grateful for what you've taken away, and grateful for what I have today.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, I've told clients, sometimes they're at their worst, of course, and I said, listen, in 1 second, 1 minute, 1 hour, 1 week, 1 month, or even 1 year, you can get a phone call that will change your life.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know. You have to be open to the possibilities. But if you're so caught up with feeling down and feeling defeated and you're caught up, you're in a black hole, what's going to find you? Nothing, nothing, because you will not see it. Open your eyes, be aware, look around you, and be open to what the universe is going to give you. This is a yes universe, and the universe wants to give you everything you need for your highest and your best. It may not be what you want, but it will surely be what you need. And once you open to it, you receive it, and you start living with whatever gift the universe gave you, you're going to find the positive aspect. It may take you a while. But because we want what we want, and we call it, we'll turn around and say, well, that's what I need. No, it's what you want. And unfortunately, Earth beings want what they want and don't even look at the fact that it could be harmful to them. You know, we want a certain relationship, and we're closing our eyes to the fact that, okay, well, this person is non-committal, or this person is this or that, but we want it because we think we're going to fix it and we're going to make it work. We're going to rework it. And then we're upset and devastated because we went in for what we want as opposed to asking for what we need or not asking and let it just happen. It's the most positive thing I can advise someone.
It's very interesting because I'm at a place right now where I am so into, like, wanting what I want. I'm looking to get a car, and I totally know that what I need is different from what I want. And just being able to, like, let go and let whatever's meant to be put in front of me, but that it's so hard to not obsess over, you know, what I want. How am I going to make it happen?
You know what the thing is? What I get is go for the second one, not the top. Go for the second. Go for the afterthought as opposed to the immediate gratification. Because in the long run, you'll be much happier. Because if you go...
Are you there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I was like, oh, wow, I got...
So you said because
if you go for what you feel you want right now, you won't be happy. But I say take the second, which is go for what you need. You're going to end up a lot happier.
Mm-hmm.
That's my feeling.
Don't get the convertible.
No, don't get the convertible. Go the second route because in the end you'll be much happier. You'd be much happier because I feel like where you're going and where you're headed and what's happening in your life right now will not lend itself to the instant gratification. your spiritual being, and you're going on a certain path. And it doesn't mean you can't have nice things. You could have something that's nice, but it may not necessarily be the instant gratification choice, because in the end, it won't give you the happiness that you think it will.
Right, and in this time, the peace of mind also that comes with not overstretching yourself, you know, with this economy, you know, I know myself also, you know, I've always been able to overstretch, live beyond my means a little bit.
The American dream.
Yeah.
I mean, we do it. All of us do it.
Right, and it does feel so much better to be able to, you know, really, you know, come back to basics and to not have to have all that over your head.
No, and it doesn't mean you'll never have that. It just means
right. Not
now.
Not now, right.
No, and now is when we want it, because now is when we feel we need this. But if you let it, if you think about it a little bit and let go of it, you'll find that what you think you need is really only what you want, and it's not what's necessary for where you're going right now. And you'll shift. You'll go through a shift in a few months, and you'll understand. You know, it's like I see people sometimes, if there's a fair or some kind of event, I see them going from one intuitive to another, and I laugh and I think, okay, they're looking, like all of us, we're looking to hear what we want to hear. And if one intuitive doesn't say it, they'll keep going until they find someone that tells them exactly what they want to hear, and they will. And they will. And so all of a sudden, you don't want to be the bad guy, but you also have to give what you receive. So just be open to the possibilities and let the universe hand you something. And it will be a gift rather than a burden.
Exactly. And embrace it as a gift.
Yes, because bless it and be thankful for it. Because be thankful that you are getting a car. And not to say, okay, look at the people who are losing a car in that respect. But that's the reality of the situation. I always look at people who, I'm so stressed out because I'm moving and I'm moving. Okay, you're moving into a better home, or you're moving out of state for a better job. You're going to something good. Be thankful. Don't complain. Because there are people that would wish that they were in that situation. And that's how it should be looked at. Everything is a gift. It just, no matter how it comes, what disguise it shows up in, it's still a gift.
Right. Well, you know, you have so much great information. We do want to have you tell our listeners how they can find you and your website and your number and all that sort of information.
Good. Lavender Miracles, it's LAVENDER, miracles.com. I always say, because we need more than one miracle, especially today. LavenderMiracles.com. My name is Judy Ann, and my phone number is 561-317-7094. LavenderMiracles.com. And I'm available on the phone. I'll come to your house. Whatever you need, whatever's needed.
Okay, so if our listener is not in South Florida, they can still...
Oh, yeah, I have clients all over. I have clients all over the country, yes. And business consultations, too. I do a lot of corporate work.
Okay. Well,
tell us a little bit about the corporate work and how you do that.
Well, for instance, I have a gentleman who's a biochemist out in California. And he calls me anytime he wants to hire someone, and he'll give me a few names, and I'll give him information on the people, and sometimes I'll pull charts on the people. And now he's come to a point where he knows he has all the birth data for me, but usually I will read it intuitively first, and then I'll run a chart, and it will be exactly what I was given intuitively. And he has hired a few people that way, and they've worked out perfectly. Then I'm dealing with someone who's pretty prominent, and I was helping him with his corporation, and I was on call basically, and guiding him in that way. So I've done this many times. I enjoy it. I really enjoy it. And sometimes I'm going through legal documents, but intuitively. And I've chosen lawyers for a corporation who I felt would be the best to represent them in whatever they were going through an issue at that time. And so that's pretty much how it works. Whatever they need, they mm-hmm. just call, and it doesn't have to be in person. Most of this is done on the phone.
Really? Tell me, and our listeners, tell us a little bit about what exactly is a medium? I mean,
a medium. Medium is
yeah.
is someone on this earth who's bringing in someone who's passed on. So they're the go-guy, go-between. You know, they're the middleman. So I'm going to receive information, and it could be a loved one that comes in for someone. And it's been funny because I've worked many parties where you're just told to just keep it light, and don't do this and don't do that. And all of a sudden you're sitting in the midst of all this noise and someone's loved one comes in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty interesting. And what I have found with my work, when a loved one comes in, I'll give you, for instance, I remember doing a consultation with someone, and I see this man standing there with this big sunflower. And my earth mind was saying, well, you're doing a reading. Why on earth would you talk about a sunflower? And that was when I learned I had to let go of myself. And I related this to the client. All of a sudden, she was crying. She said, that's my dad. He had his prized possession was a sunflower garden. So I call that my terminology. I've made up this word, the Kian. And that's when the spirit comes in, and they give you an information piece of information that you may look at and think, oh, my God. But yet it's something that immediately will let the loved one know that we have indeed connected.
You know, it's one of my most favorite things to have a reading about, because a lot of people are a little bit skeptical and they're a little nervous about it when I tell them about that they should do that. But it's such a great feeling to feel that someone from the past, something that is being said, and you know that, wow, that's something that my mother would have said, or
exactly.
I love that. it gives you a really good feeling and a sense of that they are, you know, that there's something coming through. And I've had that, and I felt one day like I spent the whole afternoon just sitting with my mother who has passed, because of all the things that were said that were coming from her. So I highly encourage that type of reading.
I love that's one of, I mean, I love all of it, but that's one of my favorites because it does show the continuity of life. I got to tell you something very funny. I remember when John Edward first came on TV. I was sitting in my room, and they were going to a commercial break, and they said, when we come back, we're going to talk to the father of this girl that was there. And all of a sudden, I see this face before me, and it's a chubby face with real ruddy skin and these big blue eyes just looking at me, smiling, and I'm thinking, who is that? And then all of a sudden, they came back after the commercial break, and they showed the picture of the girl's father, and that was her father.
Oh, wow.
He shows up in my room. But it's just, it's not my room. It's just all open. I mean, I was sitting on the computer talking to some friends one night, and all of a sudden, I just felt like I wasn't typing anymore. My room is cold, and I'm typing Michael, and it was this girl's husband. And it's interesting. But you have to, with all these gifts and all these things that you do, you just, like the little child, in awe of all of this. But the way I was trained was, you are in control. You can ask that something stop, or like I went through a period where I was seeing into the body, and it was upsetting to me. So I said, mm-hmm. okay, can we hold back on this a little? Just bring mm-hmm. it in a different way. And it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was. So you are in control. And it's just because you have a gift, you just don't have to stand there and accept everything. There are certain things you have to know what you can handle. at that time. And maybe at a future date, it's okay. I was getting a lot of spirits when I was doing a reading where I was, of course, I get sometimes the physical sensations of how they passed. And I was one day choking in the middle of a reading, and I was like, I had to stop. And this young man had hung himself. So I had to work through that. And this is quite a long time ago. So the things that you're learning, even while you're in the midst of a reading. So you have to protect yourself. Also, you can't just run out and not protect yourself because you are in the physical body.
Right. And what do you do to, like, you know, to keep yourself centered and, like, when somebody comes in, do you do something to, like, let go of the energy or?
Well, I'm very big. I love the violet flame. So I have to say, and I say this on air, I would say this because I'm pretty honest about it. Sometimes I'm so into what I'm doing, I forget about my physical self. And I've been drained, and I remember I was just doing so much, and I ended up with the flu every time I did a fair, and I said, what's going on? And I know that I have to do this protection. I do the Beloved I Am. I love doing that decree, and I do it no matter what. So if there's a situation or a big party or a big event that I'm going to be doing, I have to do that. And I have to be mindful of that because you have to protect yourself. And otherwise, you know, your energy is gone and then you can't do what you came in to do. Like I'll be at the Coconut Creek Casino in Florida on the 19th. I'm there. They hire me a few times a year and they pay for it. So people are allowed to have readings. And that's a vast, you think of the energy of that. People are there and they're losing their money. You know how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're in that energy. And when I come home, I've walked out of there where I was dizzy and I had to come straight home. So I know this time I have to do a lot more protection, a lot more protection for myself. And I use oils. I'm an aromatherapist too. So I bring some oils with me to help myself. I'll be there for 3 hours this time, but I've been there for 4 hours. And outside of the fact that there's a lot of smoke in there, and that's not too healthy, but I meet some incredible people that I read when I'm there. You know, they always put me next to the car they're giving away, so it takes a while for the people to realize I'm not giving away chances for the car. And then when they know what I'm doing, then there'll be families that come. Lovely, lovely people. And I meet incredible people in this work.
This is the Coconut Creek Casino. And
yes,
what are they?
I'm an old casino. On the 19th of March, I'll be there from 3 to 6. From 3
okay,
to 6.
And that's a casino. They have just machines or card games?
Well,
or
it's a Seminole. It's a Seminole. It's uh-huh. Well, they have a lounge in there. They have a few restaurants. It's owned by Seminole, like the Hard Rock Hotel. But this is one of their other properties. I think they're going to be putting a hotel up there eventually. But it's a pretty big place, and it's crowded. It's very crowded, so I usually, they give me a security guard, and I kind of keep people on a list, and you try to read as many people as you can, but some people end up having more time. It depends on what they need.
Judy, and how do you, with your aromatherapy, is that something that, do you use that with your clients, or how do you recommend your aromatherapy healing?
Well, what I do is when I'm doing a healing, I'm using oils in conjunction. Like I will use rose oil because that heals the heart chakra, and that's good for grief and loss. So I'll use that. I'll do some little anointing with that, or I'll diffuse it in my healing room. I have a healing room, and I'll use oils in conjunction with healing. I've been doing the oils for about 15 years. I'm trying to get my own company together, and that I'll have in the future. But I love using oils in conjunction with healing. There's so many methods that are available. You do the energy, but there's other things you can use, herbs. And but I use a lot of oils, and I do recommend them. The easiest thing, and I don't know who's interested in this, but to wash a tile floor, you took a bucket of water and you put in about 9-10 drops of eucalyptus essential oil, not something you would buy and that's not a real oil. And you use that, and it's the most, when you walk into your house, you get that scent of eucalyptus, and it's wonderful. You add lavender to it, it's antibacterial, antimicrobial. You'll end up, you'll have a beautiful scent, but you'll have something that's going to protect you. So there's a lot of things you can do with the oils. It's
well, that's
incredible.
Very interesting.
Mm. I love it. I taught a class at Whole Foods for the public on essential oils. I do go out and I'll teach. I'll do a basic where we'll do the 10 basic oils that everybody I think should keep around. So I'll make different blends to use in my home. Like I have right now, I have a cold, so that's why I sound like this. But I'm blending eucalyptus and peppermint, and I have a diffuser, and it's like I use distilled water in it, and that's helping me breathe.
It's really amazing. It sounds like you have a lot to offer. And are your events posted on your website? Would that be a good place for people to go to find out where they can find you?
Basically, no, not right now. It's more, if they go to the website and they call me or they give me their email address, I can send them an email. Or the easiest thing is to just call me where I'm going to be. And ask where I'm going to be. Yeah, because I haven't, I'm in the process of changing things on that website so I have more control where I can post things. But there's a wonderful site called Architects of the New Dawn, and it turns out it's Carlos Santana's site. I found it in January. It had just started up, and it's an incredible site. Oh, my God. It's wonderful. It's all spiritual, all light workers. So I'm going to start putting some information on there. It's called Architects of a New Dawn. Yeah, you should look into it.
Okay.
It's incredible.
Okay, so we're down to our final 2 minutes. Is there anything you'd like to say before we sign off?
No, it was a pleasure being on your show. I enjoyed it immensely, and I just hope the listeners will call. And maybe there's something I can help them with. I also teach, and I do the parties. So if anyone wants to get a group of people together, the hostess always gets her reading.
Well, that sounds great. I know that for me, I feel that sometimes going to have a reading is like sitting with a therapist and that knows nothing about you. And you're sitting there, and they're telling you things that you need to hear, and that, like people that are going through this time right now where they're in turmoil, they're in struggle and challenge. And so I highly recommend to all my listeners out there to give Judy Ann a call and tap in and let her tell you a few things.
Thank you for being with us, Judy Ann.
Oh, you're welcome. It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Have a good
Thank
new moon
you
tomorrow.
Too.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye. All right.
Bye.
There you have it, listeners. You've been listening to Judy Ann, and we look forward to having you on with us next week. We're down to our final 10 seconds, so we want to thank you. We love you. We'll see you next
bye-bye,
week.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.